Thank Naomi tonight and her husband for coming this way. And we thank her for those lovely messages and song. And may the Lord bless her in the master service. Just brings us in fittingly to that place called Calvary tonight. And we'll have a wee word of prayer as we come to God's word. Father, we thank thee for these lovely messages and song. Pray you'll bless the one that brought them to us and in thy service. We pray, Lord, as we come to the cross tonight, O God, you'll take everything else out of our minds and our hearts just now and center them on the cross of Calvary. We thank thee, Lord, for that atoning death. We thank thee, Lord, he was there as our substitute, as the bearer of our sins. And Lord, it was our sins that nailed him to the tree. Lord, we thank thee for so great salvation. Bless us now, Lord, we pray. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit and give to each one the hearing ear and the understanding heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My text tonight is found in John 19 and in the verse 30. And it's not a little phrase. It is finished. It's the sixth saying of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There was the word of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And then there was the word of salvation to the thief. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Then we have the word of affection, when the Lord Jesus Christ committed Mary, his mother, into the keeping of the disciple John. And then there was that great cry of anguish. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's almost unbelievable that that cry should have came from the lips of the Saviour. And why was he forsaken of the Father? That you and I might never ever be forsaken. And then there was the cry of suffering, and the cry of victory, and the cry of contentment. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. It's the sixth of those sayings of the cross that we want to speak on tonight. It's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. Now, in the original, it is one word. That word is teleo. And in that one word, there's wrapped up the whole gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In that word is contained the ground of the believer's assurance. It is finished. Our teleo. In that one word is summed up all the joy and all the spirit of divine consolation. It's finished. Now, this is not the despairing cry of a helpless martyr, as some would have us to believe. It was a declaration from the lips of the Son of God, and saying that the price of our redemption was paid in full. It is finished. Teleo. It means it is finished, it stands finished, and it always will be finished. There's nothing more needs to be done. Because the Lord Jesus Christ cried, it is finished, you and I have the assurance of eternal life. You and I can trust in him as our own and personal Saviour, and we pass from death unto life because it's a finished work, once and for all. And the cross of Calvary. And here we have tonight, first of all, a familiar word. It is finished. Arteleo. It was a word that was familiar in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked this scene of time. It was a word that servants and slaves would hear, or they would use. For example, a master would say to a servant, go and do such and such a thing. And when they had gone and done it, then they would come back and they would say, teleo, it is finished. The work that you gave me to do is done. And the Lord Jesus Christ was God's suffering servant. In Philippians 2 and verse 7 it says that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What condescension, what humility, that down from heaven set aside his glory and took the form of a mere man, yet without sin, but for sin, went to the cross of Calvary. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He's the servant. Jesus Christ came as a servant. He didn't come as a sovereign, but he came as a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He could say in John 17:4, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. It also is the word of a priest. You will discover that this was a word that priests would use, teleo. The Jewish people brought their sacrifices to be examined by the priest. It was unheard of. It had been a just wouldn't have been accepted to offer something that was imperfect. That's why the offering was examined, to make sure there was no blemish or fault in the offering. And when the priest would have examined it, then, and he found it was perfect, he would say, teleo, it is perfect, it's finished. And the Lord Jesus Christ dying the cross was God's perfect, faultless sacrifice. Remember when John was baptizing at the River Jordan, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ approaching unto him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And of course, the Jews would have known what he was who he was referring to. Here was the antitype of the Old Testament sacrifices. Here is the perfect sacrifice for sin, even the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that Christ is faultless and spotless? Because God the Father said so. Remember at his baptism, Matthew 3:17, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The demons admitted that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. In Matthew 8:29, they said, what have we to do with Jesus, thou Son of God? Isn't it a remarkable thing tonight? There's those intellectuals and others among us, and they say, no, he's not the Son of God. He's just a mere man, but he was just a man. He wasn't the Son of God. And yet the very demons knew who he is. Thou Son of God. And thank God our sacrifice for sin is the perfect Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even his enemies had to admit that he was faultless. And at the mockery of his trial, the Jews had to hire liars to testify against him because they could find no fault with him. Even Pilate said three times, I find no fault in this man. He examined him three times. There was nothing he could accuse him of. There was nothing that he could find in Christ that the Jews accused him of. And he knew it was for envy that they had brought him to him to be tried. Find no fault in him. And then remember his wife, Matthew 27:19, she came to him and interrupted the trial. And she said to her husband, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? Now, I don't know what sort of dream she had, but it was a dream that informed her of who Christ was, and she was afraid for her husband. Don't do anything with this just man. He's innocent. And even Judas, the traitor, had to say, I betrayed the innocent blood. My friend, tonight there's only one spotless, perfect sacrifice for sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's sacrifice for you and for me. And then it was a word, teleo, that the businessmen or the merchants might have used. To them it meant that the debt was fully paid. If you had purchased something from them, and then the merchant would take your money and would give you a receipt, that receipt would say, teleo, it's finished, or the debt is paid in full. And you and I as sinners tonight owe a debt before God because of our sin. It's a debt we cannot pay. And you know, that's why hell is for eternity. Because we never can pay that debt. And that's why people will suffer in a lost eternity if they refuse Christ. Because we never can pay the debt. But praise God tonight, Christ paid the debt. And he paid it in full. Teleo, it's
finished. It's complete. It's done.
And thank God he was able to cry on the cross, "It is finished." And Matthew and Mark both tell us that he cried with a loud voice. And he wants you to hear it tonight. It is finished. The price of redemption is paid in full. So we had a familiar word. We've also here a faithful Saviour, and his cry is, "It is finished." He came to do a great work. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one person that was born into this world to die. Now, we're all going to die because of sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death came by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. But the Saviour came purposely to die. That was the work that the Father had given unto him. Yes, he was to live a perfect life for you and for me. That's important tonight. Because this Lamb has to be perfect. And he demonstrated his perfection in living a life that was without sin. But then he died on the cross of Calvary. Remember when he was 12 years of age, his mother and Joseph had missed him from the company. And they had to travel back 3 days to look for him in Jerusalem. And they eventually found him in the temple. Strange they didn't look there in the first place, isn't it? Wouldn't you expect that to be? But anyway, he was in the temple and he was debating with the hierarchy. And when Mary chided him for not letting them know where he was, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." At the wedding at Canaan of Galilee, he said, "Mine hour is not yet come," because there was an hour, and there was the Father's business that he must be about. And then there was the death on the cross of Calvary. In John chapter 4 and 34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work of redemption." Again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, our Lord Jesus Christ discussed with Moses and Elijah his decease that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. What was that conversation all about with Moses and Elijah and the Lord? It was about his departure from this life. It was about his death on the cross of Calvary. It's always a good subject of conversation with the people of God, isn't it? About the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 17, in his high priestly prayer, he said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." A faithful Saviour. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And friend, he came to die for you and for me. And thank God we can offer you salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that completed that work. He's a faithful Saviour, and he has a desire tonight that you might be saved. And there's room at the cross for you tonight. Though millions have come, still there's room for one. There's room at the cross for you. A faithful Saviour. And he's willing to save to the uttermost all that come unto me. All that come unto me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that tremendous tonight? No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter your sin tonight, and that's not my business tonight. That's between you and God. But no matter how many your sins might be, no matter how few your sins might be, you need to be saved. Because if it's only one sin, and it's not, but saying for the sake of speaking, it was one sin, then you need to come to the cross tonight. For Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And then we come to the last part. It's a finished work. It is finished. A familiar word spoken by a faithful Saviour about a finished work. Now, all the Old Testament prophecies that refer to him and his work on the cross were finished. And we can think back into the Old Testament of the types of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Adam and Eve sinned,
and they covered themselves with fig leaves, they realized they were naked, and they covered themselves with fig leaves. Remember, God came in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? He'd run away from God because of his sin. And that's where you stand tonight if you're not saved. You're separated from God because of your sin. But God in his mercy, he took an innocent animal, he slew it, and with the coat of the animal, he clothed Adam and Eve. And it speaks of the work of Christ on the cross. He shed his blood that we might be saved. And in doing that, he gives to you and I the cloak of his righteousness. Then when we come into Exodus chapter 12, that great Passover lamb, when the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage, and God came to the end of his 10 plagues in Egypt, and it was the killing, the slaying of the firstborn in Egypt. And he told the children of Israel that they'd be safe if they took the lamb, the spotless lamb, if they would slay it and catch the blood in the basin, and then with a bunch of hyssop, if they would apply it to the doorposts and lintels of their homes, they would be safe. Because they said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Great types of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're gone now. The antitype has come. And John was right when he cried, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when the Lord cried on the cross, it is finished. The veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, signifying that there was a way now in to the very holiest of all. Previously, it was only the high priest that could enter into the holiest of all in the temple. With the blood of the sacrifice for his own sins and the sins of the people. But when Christ cried on the cross, it is finished, that great curtain was torn in two, signifying that you and I that are sinners, by the blood of Christ, can enter in to the holiest of all. The ceremonial law was finished. Colossians 2 and 14, speaking of Christ, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Ceremonial law is finished. You and I are not saved by the works of the law, for by no man will be saved by the works of the law, for the very simple reason, you and I couldn't keep the law. And, you know, that just nails the argument, doesn't it, of people who say, oh, I'll be saved because I'm a good person and I don't do anyone any harm. And, you know, it's not good enough. If there was another way of salvation, and there's not, but if there was, the only way be by fulfilling the commandments of God fully all the days of our life. And because we're sinners, we're not able to do that. And that's why Christ had to come into the world. There was not another good enough to pay the price of sin. Jesus only could have locked the gate of heaven and let us in. He's the only Savior. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It tells us, what does the law tell me tonight? The law condemns me tonight. Because I've broken the law and you've broken the law. And we do it daily in word, thought and deed. How am I going to be saved? Well, Christ is the end of the law to bring us to God. He is the one that fulfilled every commandment there was. He was the one that lived a spotless life. And then he died a substitutionary death on the cross. In other words, he died in the place of others. He died in our room instead. Therefore, if we trust in Christ tonight as our personal Savior, we have this confidence and this assurance that Paul writes of in Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Why am I not condemned tonight? Because I'm trusting in Christ as my personal Savior. And that finished work on the cross. How can there be condemnation? Christ has been condemned in my place. He has suffered for my sins. He suffered the punishment I should have suffered. He suffered my hell for me. And God doesn't require it twice. First at my surety's hand and then at me. I'm in Christ tonight. I'm accepted in the Beloved. And we love Him tonight. Because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. The work of God's salvation is finished. The great word of the gospel is not do. That's the word of religion tonight, isn't it? You do this and you do that and you do the other thing. But what is the word of the cross? It's done. The work is done. A young man came to an evangelist one night. He was just finishing a gospel meeting and he was packing up his things. And this young man came and he said in a sarcastic manner, what must I do to be saved? And the evangelist, knowing that the man was not being serious, said, son, it's too late. And that threw the young man. And he said, no, he said, what must I do to be saved? The evangelist said again, son, it's too late. It's already done. That's the message of the cross. The work is done. It's finished. And all you and I have to do is recognize that we're sinners and that Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and the work was finished. Telio, complete. Once and for all. And all we have to do is come and accept the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing to be added to. It's not Christ in my works. It's not Christ in my prayers. It's not Christ in my tears. Christian Farmer was seeking to win a neighbour who was a carpenter. And the carpenter kept saying to him that there was something he also had to do. That Christ's work on the cross wasn't sufficient. So one day the farmer asked the carpenter to make him a gate for one of his fields. And when the gate was ready, the farmer, in the presence of the carpenter, he hung the gate. And when he had the gate hung, he took an axe. And the carpenter says, What are you going to do? Well, the farmer said, I'm going to add a few cuts to your work. And the carpenter replied, but there's no need for that. The gate is all right. I did it all that was necessary to be done. The farmer took no notice and he began to hack at the gate until it was completely spoiled. And the carpenter cried, look what you've done. You have ruined my work. Yes, said the farmer, and that is exactly what you are trying to do. You are seeking to nullify the finished work of Christ by your own miserable additions to it. See, the gate was perfect. All that the farmer had to do is accept that. But you see, this man was arrogant. It was Christ's work and something else. And so it was a tremendous illustration to this man that the work of Christ was done. It's sufficient. And God used that object lesson to show the carpenter his mistake. The apostle writes in Hebrews 10 and verses 12 and 14, but this man, that is Christ, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In other words, Christ paid it all. The work is finished, it's complete. God has accepted it. How do I know? Well, Christ rose the third day according to the scriptures. That's how I know. It was accepted of the Father. It's finished. It's a once and for all work done on the cross. And when he finished it, he sat down. Now, the ladies know, when you know, you'll not get a lady to sit down if the work's not done. She has to be about it. Sometimes I say to my wife, would you just sit down for a while? There's something here I just have to finish. And then when she's finished, she'll sit down. The work's done. That's Christ. He had done the work. And now he's at the Father's right hand in glory. You know, in the Old Testament tabernacle, there were no chairs in the tabernacle because the work of the priest was never finished. But Jesus Christ, when he had finished the work, sat down. The work was complete. Salvation, the work of salvation is done. Nothing to be added to it. Nothing to be substituted for it. It's done. What does that mean to you and I? It means that God was satisfied with that work on the cross of his Son. He paid in full the price for your sins and mine. But how do I appropriate that to myself? How can I know tonight whether I'm a Christian or not? Simply by coming humbly and confessing your sinnership unto Christ and crying like the publican of old, God be merciful to me the sinner. Trust in Christ tonight. The work is done. Telio, it's finished. Be glad that tonight there's nothing for you to do but to come and to receive God's offer of mercy. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what do you have to do to make a gift your own? You just receive it. If your wife, your husband, your girlfriend or boyfriend comes up to your birthday or Christmas time or someone and says, I have a gift for you. You don't say, hold on a minute and I'll pay you for it. No, you just accept it. It's a gift. It's free. And amazingly, God's salvation is free tonight. You know, there's men and women across the globe tonight and they would give any amount of money to be saved. They would do anything to be saved. But the one thing needful is just to come as a sinner to Christ. Tell you, it's finished. The words of the hymn writer, lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Tell me, is he your Savior tonight? Have you seen that work as Christ has finished? He said it is. Have you trusted him? Have you received him as your personal Savior? That's what a Christian is tonight. One who is saved through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The price was severe. It cost God the Father his Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ yielded up his life, a ransom for many. And when God gave his Son, he could give no more. And he gave no less than all that he had. What shall it profit a man, the Lord said, if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's not a profit, it's a loss. You come to Christ tonight, trust in that finished work, and you go on your way to heaven and to home. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts tonight.